I remember once seeing one of these funny t-shirts, and on it, it said, "I survived Lent," which is kind of funny. I don't know that you have to go that far, but for some, Lent can be a bit of a downer. It can be a bit of a drag. I've evolved with that over the years. I've come to enjoy Lent. But I can see how, you know, it's a somber mood to it. The music's different. We tend to push ourselves a little bit in a direction that might be challenging. It can be challenging. And you might have not have thought of it before, but it can also be challenging to write sermons during Lent, trying to keep things in perspective and still inspirational. And when I read the gospel for today, Jesus getting angry and flipping the tables in the temple market, I wasn't really inspired. So I looked at the other reading and came up. The Ten Commandments don't come up very often, and I like this particular one in the book of Exodus, so I'm going to preach on the Ten Commandments today. And you might say, oh, great, I've sinned, I've strayed, and you're going to give me the Ten Commandments, sort of like I'm kicking you when you're down in Lent. But not to worry, I have a quite different take, I think, on the Ten Commandments. I think the Ten Commandments, particularly the reading that we had from Exodus today, is actually a gift from God. I think it's an opportunity to grow closer to God and to Jesus, and indeed help us on our way to Jerusalem in our Lenten journey. The Ten Commandments, or Torah, which means law, was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, of course, and they help describe the covenant between God and the Israelites, how that covenant is to be ordered, how they are to live from there on in. And of course, as you remember, it happens after the escape from Egypt. It happens after the going through the Red Sea. It happens after being hungry and wandering around in the wilderness and God giving them both manna and water. It happens because God loves them. They've been struggling. They've been weary. And God wants them to become a community. Wants them to become a nation. And so the Ten Commandments aren't really a list of finger-wagging pledges. They are, in fact, a positive pledge between God so that they may be set free as a people, as God's people. They are no longer slaves, but they want to be a vital, flourishing society. A society that can grow in love with God and each other. Now, if you think about it, setting rules is usually something that people do in groups. Imagine the typical desert island and a bunch of strangers are found to be there. One of the first things they do probably is set up rules of how they would get along with each other. When we meet as groups, we usually go over norms. Okay, this is what we're going to agree to and how we're going to move forward. It's kind of how we gather together as a people so we can move forward. So the Ten Commandments are separated as in two tablets. And the first tablet, the first five commandments, are God-centered. They're about God. The second tablet is socially centered. So the first tablet talks about false idols, taking God's name in vain, keeping the Sabbath. They're all about the relationship with God. The second tablet, do not murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, coveting. They're all the relationship with each other. And so this sets out the boundaries. It protects the community by setting patterns of living that will not lead to destruction or self-inflicted mayhem. But it also provides support for a healthy community, a love of God, and a love of fellow human beings. And there is a flow between the first tablet and the second tablet that I find engaging and indeed compelling. The way we consider and the way we are attentive to God is the same way that we are to consider and be attentive to one another. So there is a logic of faith in this, a logic of love, that God should lead to caring, and our love of God should lead to caring for our neighbor. Therefore, there is a sound theology, a sound ethics. And so let's take a look at the commandments and see how that works. There should be no other God before me. No other God. So what are the gods we have today? Money, power, television, my iPad. No other gods before me. Keeping us centered to a God that is giving, loving, creating, not the distractions of the power of the world that would take us away from that. Keeping the Sabbath reminds us that all creation is a gift from God, and that we are the stewards of this creation. And one day we should take stock and love that creation. Rest and literally smell the roses, because they are a gift from God. Honoring mother and father reminds us that we are not self-made. And mother and father also in the largest extent. As Allison mentioned, we've had 3 funerals, 2 just in the last week for Lil Thurkel and June McMorty, 2 pillars of this church that we need to remember and honor and be blessed by the legacy that they have left this church. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Language is important. Language kind of defines you as a person. Language also that we use with other people defines our relationship. We should use our language to lift up each other and ourselves, not tear down. And you debase yourself, I think, by using language that is inappropriate or hurtful or mean. And you certainly aren't building up other people with that. It's good to be reminded of that. Do not murder. There's a lot going on there, among other things. It shows the value of each and every person. Every person is a child of God. And while we can, and even the Bible itself debates that, the Bible goes on to show many murders and killings and wars and violence, we hold that up to be a truth of primary importance, that each and every person is a valuable child of God, and we do our very best to uphold that, to remember that, and to keep that promise. And so we get to what I would call the last one, the big one. And when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? They were testing him. And he said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He combines the theology of the 2 tablets. He combines the theology of these 2 tablets and brings them into fullness. The 10 commandments are a gift. They are a gift because they give us a chance to check our connectedness to God and to check our relationships with one another. I love the New Yorker magazine, and in part because they have fantastic cartoons. In one of the cartoons, there was the 2 tablets, and just lying on the ground, and they were blank. And below the 2 tablets was a hammer and a chisel. And the title underneath it said, "Do It Yourself Kit." What would we write down for the 10 commandments? I have a hunch they would be similar. You can only have 10, that's the rule. What would they be? I have a hunch they would be very similar. Our Lenten journey, then, and the 10 commandments are not about spiritual moralism, is about becoming more Christ-like. This is about deepening our connection to God, while at the same time, very importantly, deepening our connection to and our love of and our fellowship with one another.